Well, this morning's solemnity on the Trinity is a great opportunity for us to take a moment and reflect upon the biblical worldview in light of the Trinity. The Trinity has come to save us. That's what it's done. But from what? What is it saving us from? And there's some obvious things that come, like evil, the devil, things like that. But there's something much larger also that's going on here. And it comes from the biblical worldview. And the way the Bible views this whole order of creation that we're living in right now is, it's like the Titanic. The whole thing is sinking and it's going down. That's what this world is like. It's going down, it's sinking, it's passing away, it's running through our fingers like sand. We can't hold on to it forever. Eventually we go to the grave and have to let go of it. It's passing. See, that's it. Our loved ones, they pass. Many of them have gone already from this world. It's constantly changing. Now, that is the Bible's view of this world. Everything you see around you. And if you and I, on the night of the Titanic when it sank, I mean, that was just unthinkable at the time. And that's kind of how we are. When we look at this whole world, the entire universe, we say, well, that's ridiculous. No, this isn't all sinking. And look at this. It's so beautiful and wonderful. And that's what they thought about the Titanic. It was unsinkable. They had made it with the protective tanks inside and everything, and yet it's maiden voyage across the sea, hit an iceberg, and the thing sank. And it still has left an impression upon us to this day because of that. It was just such a shock at the time that this ship would go down. And as it went down, if you and I had been there that night, there would have been nothing we could do to stop it from sinking and going down. There's nothing we could have done. And that's true with this order of creation, too. There's nothing we can do to stop this world from passing away. The great sign from the biblical perspective that this world is passing away is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's what the Bible calls the beginning of the new creation. You see, the new creation that's going to take the place of this old one. So the only way really to stop the old one from passing is to stop the new one from coming in. And the only way to do that would be to kill Christ again. And that's impossible. We did that once. He was crucified. He went to the grave. But see, in the resurrection, he rose, and there's no shadow of death in him. He's out of our reach. He's out of our capacity to put him on trial. And find him guilty of capital offense and put him to death again. We can't do it. So we can't stop the new creation from marching forward and eventually taking the place of the old one. Now, and that's from within the Bible. This is how the Bible sees the world in which you and I now live. It's old and it's passing away. And this body participates in the old. But we have the promise that Jesus will give us new bodies that will be like his, never to suffer death again. But that's in the new creation, which means we've got to let go of the old. But as we also read in the Bible, there's always people in the history of God's revelation who are holding on to the old, and they're going down with the ship. People that are grabbing for this creation as though it's all there is. People who want to set up 1,000-year Third Reichs, for example. Like the German Chancellor Adolf Hitler was going to do. Where are his plans? They went to the grave with him. But he was certainly trying. But look at the tremendous harm this man did in attempting to bring about his will on this sinking ship and declare himself to be ruler of the world instead of Christ. It's impossible. We can't get rid of Christ. We can try, but you're kicking against the goad. It won't work. We had him in our grasp once, and that's it. We can never do it again. So the new creation is coming. You get the idea. This is the biblical worldview. Now, the Trinity gets in here because the Father could have easily just sat up in the heavens and said, okay, everybody, let's watch this ship go down. It's quite a fantastic event. Let's watch this whole thing go down. But instead, what the Father does is he asks his Son, Son, will you go down onto the deck of that ship and, like Noah, build an alternative ship that will salvage anyone who cares to get on board? That's what we read about in today's gospel. God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son. Now, he didn't send the Son onto the deck of the Titanic to just stand there and look at us and say, I built this beautiful ship. Look what all of you have done to it. My God, you're making the thing go down. He didn't come to start criticizing us. God did not send his Son onto the deck of the Titanic, into this world to condemn it. No, he didn't do that. But that the world might be saved through him. Saved through him. The figure of the Savior that we find in the Old Testament is in the book of Genesis, and it's Noah. Noah builds an ark in this world that's about to be completely destroyed by a flood. He gets his family on it with some of the animals, and they are preserved. And that, my brothers and sisters, is an image of the church Jesus founded when he was on the deck of the Titanic. And the church is the lifeboat. And that's what he's doing. He's come to save the world by inviting us on the deck of the Titanic to get on the lifeboat. Because as this one's going down, we're going to need something to keep us afloat to get us to the shores of the other world. And that's the church. That's the Catholic Church. That's what our membership in the church gives us. The Trinity has come, sent his Son. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. And like Noah, he built an ark in our world, the Catholic Church. He founded and established the church on earth as a way to bring us to safe haven when this entire order of creation goes down. And the new creation comes. That's why, for example, we say at the Eucharist, a pledge of future glory is given to us. Because that's what you're receiving when you come to the Eucharist. The promise of a total remake of your entire constitution as a human being so that you'll be like Jesus. That's the promise coming from this Eucharist. It's not happening right now. My body is still participating in the old creation. But Jesus said, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. No, you put new wine in new wineskins. So this whole order of creation and this body that's participating in it has to be completely remade to become new wineskins to receive the new wine. And the new wine is the Holy Spirit in its totality, which will transform us to live forever, to live forever. If I could invent a pill that all you would have to do is take that pill and live forever, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, I'd probably be a billionaire. I think everybody would want that pill. I mean, as it is, we're buying all kinds of medications, all of which do a lot of great good, but what they do not do is bestow everlasting life. They do a lot in terms of helping us lengthen our life, which is a good thing, but they don't give everlasting life. This is the food that gives everlasting life. And it comes to us from the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, who's standing on the deck of the Titanic, this whole order of creation that's going down, and says, get on the boat, get on the lifeboat. The ship's sinking. And there's a lot of people saying today, nah, that's just a bunch of baloney. That belongs to an old age. We've gotten past that. Those are a bunch of old ideas. And they are old ideas, but they're not just ideas. They're the truth. They're the truth. Now, the church, as you know, is visible. Yeah, it's got Pope Francis, St. Peter's, it's got hierarchy, we've got the bishops, we've got Bishop Olson here. We're in this church, we make the church visible. Yes, and that's the outer visible nature of the church. Just like you have a body, you have an outer visible nature. But you also have an interior spiritual nature that we don't see, except for the fact that your body is animated. If that inner spiritual nature leaves you, the body becomes a corpse. It's no longer animated, it's dead. But the fact that you're able to move and this kind of thing, but I'm a person too. You get to know me. You get to know me. You get to, who am I on the inside, you see? That's who I am. Well, see, it's like that with the church. The church has an outer body, just as you and I do, but it has an interior spiritual reality as well. That spiritual reality, it's quite simple, but listen to this now. The spiritual reality of the Catholic Church is the eternal communion of the Trinity in time. That's the inner spiritual reality of the Catholic Church. It's the eternal communion of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in time. You get on board with that and you live forever. Because I'm not eternal. You're not eternal. The proof that our ancestors aren't eternal is all the cemeteries peppering the landscape of this earth. So where does that eternity come from? God. Not us. It's not coming from me. It's not coming from you. It's not coming from us. And only one of the members of the Trinity could give it to us. And that's what he's done in founding the Catholic Church in our midst. Not only did he set it up with Peter and the apostles, yes, then he sets up at the heart of the church Holy Communion, which is a share in the eternal communion of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that means life everlasting. That's what that means. That's what your membership in the church. You were initiated into that Holy Communion through baptism, confirmation, and it's strengthened in you and your participation in it by your share in Holy Communion from this altar. You are firmed up in your share in that Holy Communion, which is a share in the eternal communion of God. You see what I'm saying? It's that simple. And that's what the Son coming to us is all about. That's what he did when he was among us, is like Noah. He built an ark. He built a lifeboat we could get on board as this entire Titanic in which we live is going down. And he says, "All aboard," and some hear his voice as truth, and they hop on board. Others, they just say, "That's a bunch of baloney." And they go down with the ship. Karl Marx said Jesus' voice is a bunch of baloney. He said it's a drug we use to just numb ourselves out when we suffer and make ourselves kind of feel a little more comfortable in the midst of our suffering. So we make up this other world that really doesn't exist as a way of just trying to escape our suffering. That's what Karl Marx said. We just made it up. It's a bunch of creations of the human mind to help us feel better. Well, I'd say Karl Marx, if he stuck to that to the end, I'm not the judge, Jesus is the only judge, but I would say if he stuck to that to the end, he's going down with the ship. But all those, as Jesus said to Pilate, all those who hear my voice as truth, follow me. And those are the sheep. They come out from the world. They come out from the goats. And at the end, we get the separation of the sheep from the goats. The sheep who have heard the voice of Christ as truth and followed him. They're the ones that are on the lifeboat. And they will be saved and not condemned. Saved. Not condemned. And what's beautiful about that is you will have participated in your own salvation by heeding and listening to the voice of Christ as truth. You will be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Father." Enter into the joy of your Father. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe in him, Karl Marx, has already been condemned. They've thrown their entire lot into this sinking ship, and they'll go down with it. So, brothers and sisters, the Trinity is about saving us by attempting to get us on board with the Holy Communion of the Church. Yes, it is that visible structure with all of its hierarchy and all the human beings that make that up and their fallenness and faults and the way we criticize and go on and on about how it's so imperfect. But yet at the heart of all of it is this inner Holy Communion that is a share in the eternal communion of God. And that, my brothers and sisters, is our salvation. Jesus comes to you from this altar today. All aboard! And I just pray that you will heed and hear his voice as truth.